Well, we continue to monitor the wildfire situations, both, more importantly, in northern Saskatchewan, but also Manitoba. What's going on there with evacuations? The Canadian Armed Forces continue to assist with those stranded there who are flying in, right? Far north in Manitoba there, the Armed Forces are just literally flying in to get people out. And many people there have gone to Winnipeg. Others have headed to cities like Brandon, Dauphin, Selkirk, and hotels are getting hard to come by in Manitoba. And Indigenous leaders there are urging the Premier, Wab Kanu, to suspend ongoing conferences just to make room for those who might be arriving in Winnipeg. It's a tough situation there. Over 17,000 have been ordered to evacuate from northern Manitoba. And here in Saskatchewan, it's also very serious. We're monitoring the wildfire situation around the Candle Lake Resort. Last week, the Shoe Fire, the biggie, was just about 20 kilometers away. This week, they estimate 14 kilometers away from Candle Lake Resort. And our Will Manzak was there on the weekend, as a matter of fact, in Candle Lake, and joins me now. Good morning, Will. What did you experience when you went to Candle Lake? What was the atmosphere like there?
It was just really quiet. I got up there around 9 o'clock, and there wasn't many cars on the highway when I was going up there. And then when you get up there, I was on Main Street, and there was like no one on the deck of their cabin, no one really walking around. When I was on the beach, there was like maybe two or three residents just walking their dog. A couple residents just told me eerily quiet, like a calm before the storm, obviously hoping that the storm eventually just doesn't hit them, but just overall quiet, just kind of one of those weekends that really makes you go, oh yeah, like that's right there.
Yeah, normally it would be hustling and bustling, but obviously it's just not the case right now. And so when you talk to some of the locals who are there, because it's not mandatory evacuation, it's only voluntary, does it seem like a lot of people have voluntarily hauled out of there, or are the locals who live there, they're staying until they have to?
Yeah, so the permanent residents, it seems like they're going to stay until they're told that they have to get out. But a lot of the people who just own cabins up there and go for the weekend seem to have kind of gone up periodically to get their valuables, whether it's a boat or a skidoo or maybe, you know, a heirloom in the cabin, and they're bringing it home. So they were doing that, it sounds, a lot like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week.
Right.
But yeah, there wasn't many there Saturday.
Reporter Will Manzak from Candle Lake. And obviously the air quality here in Regina was garbage. You can only imagine what it's like further up north. What was it like in the Candle Lake area as far as a smoke? And, you know, I doubt from where you were you could see any ominous glow of fire. Or what was the situation like there?
Funny enough, it wasn't really that bad. I would say Regina probably had it worse on Friday than Candle Lake did have it Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Just the way the wind blows, right?
Yeah, it was like, you know, like maybe kind of blowing around it. But when you kind of got into Candle Lake, it was like, it wasn't really super smoky. It would change hourly, but overall, like, you know, you almost didn't notice a smoky smell. You couldn't tell that there was a fire, you know, just 20 and 14 kilometers away.
Did you get a sense about the buffer that the whole community was hoping to have around the area to protect it? Like, there was loads of heavy equipment, bulldozers, clearing a fair size break to stop the fire from jumping closer, wasn't there?
Yeah, so out of kind of the Minnewaka area, there's this fire break that's kind of going down south to Aspen Grove. The fire chief there says that that's going to be around four bulldozer blades wide. And then up northwest of the resort, there's actually three fire breaks, and they're going to be 10 bulldozer blades wide. And they're going to kind of stretch down back around the community to kind of protect it, to keep this huge wall, I guess, of stopping the fire if it ever got that close.
Must give those who have remained behind a sense of security, and I hope it works. Will, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A sacred wine, a mystery caping inside. Weekends wine, until we dance into the fire.
Well, Ukraine pulled off some next-level James Bond war moves in Russia on the weekend. They used a truck full of drones. Ukraine got them into Russia. Think of it as a Trojan horse they got inside Russia. At least 40 of the Kremlin's heavy bombers, four different locations in Russia, thousands of miles inside the country, all hit.
It looks like around 30% or higher of their strategic bombers were destroyed. Some of these drones were as low as $500, taking out million-dollar aircraft. It was a blow tactically, it was a blow strategically, and it was a blow politically.
President Zelensky shared on social media that he felt it was a brilliant operation, that it was carried out targeting key airfields and strategic nuclear-capable bombers deep inside Russia. He went on to add that the preparation had taken over a year and a half. And what's really interesting is that the office of the whole operation was right next door to one of the headquarters for Russia's security services. They used 117 different drones. Got them into Russia. Inside would look like shipping containers. There's so many videos of what was happening with these containers having retractable roofs that were remotely opened, and then the drones just pop out. 34% of the strategic Russian cruise missile carrier stationed at air bases were hit, and they wiped out dozens of nuclear doomsday bombers and other aircraft. And, well, this all comes on the heels, right, of Russia. They, in the last few weeks, have been pummeling Ukrainian cities, including Kyiv, killing many and injuring others. And it was last week that as they were doing that, Russia said, oh, we should get together on today's date, as a matter of fact, for a round of peace talks in Istanbul. Well, Zelensky confirmed that a Ukrainian delegation will attend those talks today, but something tells me Putin's people won't be there. But Ukraine did not give the Trump administration advance notice of its drone strikes deep inside either. So that's not surprising, considering how they've treated him at the White House. We're into the start of a brand new month here. I got to welcome you to June. Did you realize here? Monday, June 2nd. Here we go. June brings the CFL. Our regular season kicks off Thursday night against Ottawa. We got the Stanley Cup Finals starting Wednesday night. NBA Finals Thursday. French Open, U.S. Golf. This is a good sports month. And man, weather supposed to be pretty hot and dry for the whole month. Monday, June 2nd, summer now just weeks away officially anyhow. It arrives on the 20th, but this is a month too. We are starting for the very first time in 350 years. Canada has awakened, and it's no longer anywhere.
Yes, that's all it costs when you shop at the Bay.
That's all. Yeah, the Bay officially closed its flagship store yesterday. Ours has been dead and gone for a while now, but there was one still remaining on Yonge Street in Toronto. It closed yesterday. Your only hope now to find a classic striped blanket. Might come one day at Canadian Tire because they bought the rights to some of their products. So who knows? Maybe you'll be at a Can Tire getting a new air filter for your furnace and a blanket that used to look like the one they sold at the Bay. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, but it could. The reality of our day today is, well, it's warm. And it's going to remain fairly mild throughout the week here. Not searing hot by no means if you're on vacation, as I will be once I get through tomorrow. It's good stuff, but not always great for farmers. I know seeding has got to be really close to being done now. Going into the weekend, 88% of the crop was in. And I'm sure many finished up on the weekend. And now you wait for some moisture, right? And they're waiting for it in the northern half of our province right now. Largely those wildfires. 8,000 plus evacuated from the north. We need to see some rain, and not a great deal, but at least it's nowhere near as hot. I thought I'd get a bit of an indication of what the weather will bring for this month of June with my buddy David Phillips from Environment Canada, who joins me now. Thank you, David. So first, what's the fuel for this weather pattern, Dave? Is it just a honking big, huge, high-pressure ridge that's over Saskatchewan deflecting any incoming rain to help us?
Well, Greg, you're right. We're stuck into this high-pressure area, a ridge. It's just like a big high sitting there, and the weather is just not changing. We're always happier and better off when the weather changes. You get three or four good days, and then it's followed by kind of a bad day, kind of a break from that, and you're back into the good weather. But it's just been day after day and week after week and month after month we've been under this sort of high pressure area. The weather systems have been diverted well to the south or to the north, and we're just stuck in this almost weather free zone. And it's just been too long. For example, in Regina in May, temperatures averaged about two and a half degrees warmer than normal. I mean, you had 5 days where the temperature got above 30. There's some Mays you don't have that at all. And so you've had a good number of those days. And then it's just been the lack of precipitation. Oh, you got a real million-dollar rain there around the long weekend in May that brought 70 millimeters to Estevan, and Radville got over 100, and farmers were happy. And I think Regina got about 20, 25 millimeters of rain, and that was really a godsend.
Yeah.
But then it hasn't rained in the last 12 days.
Is there any sense of it changing, David, at all?
There is a chance of rain tomorrow. It's a 30%. I don't even carry an umbrella for 30%. And then all week, it looks like, you know, it's one good thing is going to cool off. We're not going to see these 30-degree temperatures. They're like 21, 20, very close to seasonable, and that's comfortable. And for people fighting fires, that is a blessing. I mean, it's hard to fight fires when you've got all that poor air quality, and the cool temperatures are welcomed. And so we're going to see that, but no kind of rain. If it's going to be a little bit of almost a nuisance rain, Greg, we're getting into the month of lightning. We haven't had that, but we're going to get that. So, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of good news ahead.
So the month of June is pretty dry, right? Like right across the models are showing?
It is. The summer is, now, precipitation, it's hard to get it right day to day, let alone month to month. But the models seem to suggest that warmer is clearly in the cards, but in terms of precipitation, it's going to be just really looking to the west and seeing that horizon getting darkened and hoping you get some precipitation. It's going to be tough. We're in a bankrupt situation now, and we're going to keep withdrawing moisture from the bank, and it's not good.
All right, David Phillips from Environment Canada. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Little Michael McDonald there from the Doobie Brothers. Saturday, I was at the hospital's Regina Foundation Four Seasons Ball, which is a fancy fundraiser that goes to help the foundation. And so much good comes out of the money raised. And I want to thank Dino and the gang who invited us. And what a fun time on the Connexus Arts Center stage. It also featured comedian Paul Reiser, who I loved as the bad guy in the Aliens movie. And you might remember him with Helen Hunt in the TV series Mad About You. He was in Stranger Things, too. I think it was season 2. Anyhow, I had the pleasure of meeting him before the dinner and a small meet and greet. And playing Michael McDonald there, he told a great story of how he was at a party of a friend. And he didn't know that Michael McDonald or the Doobie Brothers would be playing a mini concert for this private party. And he loves Michael McDonald. He's a piano player himself. And he said, I've actually got two pianos in my home in L.A., and he walked up to Michael McDonald and said, you know what, I've always dreamed of jamming with you on piano. Would you ever consider it? And he said, sure. And, you know, as time went on, they became good friends. And Reiser actually helped Michael McDonald write his biography, which came out a year ago. It's called What a Fool Believes. But they're good friends right now. But anyhow, he was funny. And congratulations again to the Hospitals of Regina Foundation, another great fundraiser. And I know Dino wouldn't want me telling you a lot about the next lottery home in the Creeks coming out in the fall, but I especially know he's not going to want me to spring the big news about the home after that in the spring. Oh, boy. It's going to be lots of good stuff coming out of the foundation here in the coming weeks and months. Another loss for the Riders in preseason, but hey, it is preseason. Let's move on. Coach Mace made some cuts on the weekend.
You get to know these guys on a little bit of a deeper level. And, you know, that's our decision to do that, knowing that the inevitable of just making final cuts, but it never makes it easier, man. It's not an awesome day.
Not a great day, especially if you're cut. But really, as Rider fans go, no one is going, ooh, I can't believe that. In fact, I spoke earlier with CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. He said Daniel Johnson is one who was on the practice roster last year, and now the second-year CFLer has made the active team this season. Britton also mentioned, too, that Jacob Brammer left practice early yesterday, and Daniel Johnson came into the right guard spot for the second time in team drills. And safety Jackson Ford, he did have a cast on his wrist yesterday, and he practiced, though, and not sure if it's going to affect any playing time. But Coach May said he's a tough kid, didn't seem to be overly concerned either there. But, yeah, the Riders, well, open up their season Thursday night. Quick turnaround, but that's why so many starters were rested in the preseason game. And looking forward now to seeing how Trevor Harris carries this team. Prime Minister Mark Carney is in Saskatoon to meet the premiers. The agenda to strengthen Canada's economy and eliminate interprovincial trade barriers. National infrastructure proposals will be the focus in order to fast-track cross-Canada projects. And the premiers will get a chance to identify their priorities. But this is it here, too. And Carney had pledged to remove all federal barriers by Canada Day. He said doing that could boost this country's economy for up to $250 billion. Lots of work needs to be done before that all happens. That will be one meeting. I would love to be a fly on the wall, but the next best thing is to have our senior reporter, Lisa Schick, on the scene. She'll update us throughout the day and join me tomorrow on the show. And don't forget, Premier Scott Moe, after it's all said and done, is on the Evan Bray Show tomorrow, too.